You can turn your pew Bible with me this morning to Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 21 is the entire chapter. My question for you this morning is, how many of you took the time to read Revelation 9 this past week? No shame here, by the way, if you didn't. I'm just curious, how many of you just took some time to read it? Some of you, I think a few hands went up. All right, very good. So I put that out there just because I want you to stay connected. This is a pretty deep passage. This next few are the same way. There's just a lot going on. And this could preach many different ways. And I can only give you one way today. But we'll go through it. And there's some things that you're going to learn today that might stand out to you. And I want you to look at it through this lens today. I want you to look at our world. And I want you to see what's going on in the world that you and I live in. And then I want you to learn what you're going to hear today and think, I never realized that. There are some nuggets in here I'm going to share with you this morning that I found this past week that were just, for me, they were astounding. And like, wow, I never knew this before. You're going to hear that this morning. So you're going to learn some new things, I'm hoping, this morning as well. So follow along with me in Scripture. Now let us read together Revelation chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of scorpions when a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and on their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses, and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails with stingers like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon, that is destroyer. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. And by the way, I believe that's 2 million, if I'm not mistaken. The horse and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon this word today. May you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. And I pray for those that have gathered here, Lord, that you bring this word to life in their lives, their minds, their souls. Lord, may you open those up. May you teach them what they need to hear for their faith journey. Lord, may you strengthen them through this message today. May you give them encouragement. Lord, I pray that this message is your message and not my own. And I pray you fill me with that same spirit. In Jesus, I pray, amen. I have a question for you this morning. How many of you have seen a falling star before? Just about all of you, probably. You're driving the car at night somewhere and somebody says, oh, did you see that star? Right? Most of you have seen a falling star in your lifetime. And I'm assuming that you'll probably see more of them. But we read about this falling star in Scripture this morning. This star is an angel that opens the abyss. Chapter 9 describes this trumpet blast. Trumpet blast 5 and 6. And last week I told you that these were characterized by the words, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, pay attention. This is going to get serious now. Because this is going to involve human life. Everything else that we studied affected the earth, the planet that you and I live on, our solar system, whatever it might be. Now we're into people, is what we're talking about. So it's a little more serious and involves us, our daily lives. And if you read chapter 9, which a few of you did, you might have noticed that there was no mention of the seventh trumpet in this chapter. And that's because chapters 10 and 11, which we'll look at over the next week or so, there's an interlude that addresses the people of God. And we'll study that next week. And then we get into trumpet number 7 after that. So you get two woes this morning. 5 and 6. Let me also remind you that the book of Revelation is a book of great symbolism, which we'll see in our message today. These are the judgments that come against people, specifically unbelievers. Keep that in mind. We read a very important passage this morning, Revelation 9, verse 4, which I gave you last week. That's your hope. That's what sustains you through whatever's going to come at you in this life when Jesus returns and things begin to fall apart towards the end of creation. But let's get into this. Chapter 6 begins with the fifth angel. And if you have your Bible open, do follow along. I'll reference it from time to time. Sounding his trumpet, after which a star, representing an angel who carries out the work of the Father whom opens up the abyss. Now, there are some that believe that this is the work of Satan. The Bible does not specifically say that. I don't believe that it is, and as I read commentaries and study it this week, we believe that it's an angel of the Lord that carries out the Father's work, opens up the abyss. Now, what is the abyss? It's a giant chasm. It could be a representation of hell, but there is an abyss, and in that abyss, there are many demonic forces that are contained, that are not let loose upon this earth yet. There are some that we know that are active in the spiritual world that you and I live in. They torment and they tempt you every day. But this abyss will be opened. And we believe by an angel of the Lord. And this plague brings a demonic-like locust on the ungodly and the evil of the earth. We see this scene. So imagine this in your mind with me this morning. We see a scene of smoke, which comes out of this dark and darkens the earth. And you know that if you've been near a fire or you see a fire, it can be kind of suffocating and it kind of covers everything and it's hard to see. I want you to think of the smoke as the demonic plagues that come out of the abyss and they fall upon the earth, the world that you and I live in. That's the symbolism that I think we see here today. They're not actual locusts that are going to fly out of this hole and devastate everything. Remember, this is symbolism. It's imagery of what's going to happen when we get towards the end of creation, when God allows things to begin to kind of fall apart and the judgment begins upon the ungodly people. I also believe that there's these spiritual demonic forces will be unleashed upon the earth in the last days, specifically to affect non-believers, those who do not carry the seal of God. And now we might think of the seal of God as baptism, but I also believe that the seal of God here could be is the Holy Spirit living in you and I as believers. That's your protection. I also believe in biblically that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, demonic possession is not capable or possible in you and I. They can't touch you. They might try to tempt you, but they can't get in. Remember that. And that's encouragement for us today as we walk with God. But the main purpose of these demonic forces is to wreak havoc on human relationships among unbelievers that live in the world. Things will get rough for them. Their lives will fall apart. It will be difficult. These relationships that you and I, we're in relationship with others that are unbelievers, non-believers. There's tares among the wheat and so on the Bible talks about. They will also affect our relationships. We will go through some of those hard things. And has anybody been in a relationship where you maybe a good friend or a relative and it's come to a rough spot and it falls apart? We've all been there. And towards the end times, Jesus says, beware, this is going to be a pretty common thing. Relationships are going to be tough to maintain, especially amongst non-believers, and they're going to affect our lives as well because we live life with them. Hard things will happen. Devastating things will happen. And these damaging evil plagues will affect us in those ways. Because people that you and I know that are unbelievers, or maybe they live without the Holy Spirit in their lives, will be very, very susceptible to these types of things in their life. And then verse 4 goes on to say this. But only those people who did not have the seal of God on their heads would be protected. Would be ravaged. And so I want you to know that you're safe throughout this. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but spiritually you're safe. God says, don't worry about it. Be cautious, be aware. But know that I go through you with this. The main job is to make an unbeliever's life a living hell upon this earth and those end times. The darkness of the underworld will attack the ungodly. Now notice that this plague has both a Greek and a Hebrew name. The Hebrew name Abaddon means destructive. And you read in the Bible this morning the Greek name Apollyon means destroyer. This demonic force will cause ungodly people to turn against each other and maybe even believers, the church. So now remember, I told you to think about the context of the world that you and I live in today. Do we see people turning against each other? Most definitely. Do you see people turning against the church? Against Christians? Most definitely. Now, that doesn't mean that the end times are upon us, but you and I need to be aware that there are demonic forces that are out and alive and active that are causing things like this to go on in our lives and even in the country that you and I live in today. You don't have to look very far, and you see it on your news. You hear about cities that are dealing with all kinds of rioting and looting and so on and the like. The enemy of man is the spiritual force that lies behind this world, and that enemy is Satan. And that's who you need to be aware of. And we only deceive ourselves if we don't cast ourselves upon the power and the salvation of Jesus Christ. You need to have that relationship with Him to sustain this and to get through this tribulation that will come one day. And the book of Revelation says, be prepared as a Christian because tribulation can come to you at any time in your life. Through many different situations. And you need to fall upon your faith in Jesus Christ to carry you through those times. That's the most important thing you need to maintain in your life, is that relationship with Jesus Christ. And now the sixth trumpet is going to sound. And another horde of demons comes forth. And if you're with me in your Bible, Revelation 13 and 14, listen to this, and then I'll give you some meaning behind it. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. These represent wars that will devastate the earth. That's what we're dealing with here. In Revelation, now if Revelation spoke to the people in AD 90, how does it speak to us today? So let's learn a little bit of history about what went on when John was writing this to the church in his day, and then also how it speaks to us today. And so here's the point you need to understand. John was referencing to the Assyrians and to the Babylonians and maybe some of the Parthians who lived beyond the Euphrates River that they would come and attack Israel or Judea. Vast armies over there that could wipe out their nation, could kill many. And John says, you need to be aware that these things can happen. The potential is there. And in fact, it happened to Israel many times, didn't it? God allowed them to be attacked because they distanced themselves from God. And God said, I'll bring you back, but it's not going to be easy in your life. So now think about modern day today. Today, in broader terms, I think it represents all the countless enemies of the gospel. Who are the enemies of the gospel? I want you to think on a big world picture here. Who hates us? What faiths are against the Christian faith? Not necessarily in our country, but throughout the world. What is the one big one? We haven't heard much about them lately that was dead against our faith. ISIS? Islamic faith? Right? God warns us of those things. Be careful of those. That's what he talks about when the four horses get released upon the earth, that there will be powers that rise up in vast demonic armies that will come against Christians. Now, we might not see it so much in the world that you and I live in, but if you were to go to the eastern part of the world, you would see that it's a mess over there. And I don't have to tell you much about that because you know it's been that way for years. But we need to be aware of those things. They are the destroyers of Christianity. They are military demons, and they'll take their toll on human life. And the ugliness of these horses that we see this picture is the ugliness of war that will affect people in very many different ways. And an enormous number of people will die through this. And the Bible says a third of the population. So here is my thought today, and I wonder if this woe judgment hasn't already been released. With the wars that we've seen the last 200 years upon this earth. There has been a large number of people taken through different wars upon this earth. Now, how many of you are familiar with World War I and World War II? All right, you've heard about it, you've learned about it. How many wars do you think there's been from that point of time till today throughout our world? I'm talking small countries, large countries, and those types of things. This is a rough number, but how many wars do you think have taken place? Any guess? I was astonished by what actually came out when I read this past week about this. There is roughly 100 declared wars that have occurred since World War II in our world. People are always at war. But you and I don't always hear it, or we don't see it, because we're pretty well protected where you and I live. But that's a vast number of people that are under war or in war or that are getting killed or displaced or whatever it means in the world you and I live in. Over 100 wars have occurred since World War II in our country. We've been a part of a few of them, Desert Storm, Vietnam, the Korean conflict, those types of things, but many more have occurred as well in our world. And so here's my point that I want to bring to you as well this morning. Out of all of this stuff that goes on, what is so amazing that things that are happening, it says, the question might be, why is it that God's people will not repent? They will not turn to God. They deny him. They push him away. They say he doesn't exist. We don't need God in our world. We want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And yet all these judgments befall the earth. You and I live in them every day. But yet God's people will not turn to him. Revelation 9, verse 20 addresses that. It says, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. And you say, well, how can they see all this devastation and killing and not repent? It's going on in our world right now today, isn't it? It's happening all around us. But people still won't come to Christ. And so here's a statement I want to read to you this morning from Lehman Strauss. He said this, God has never delighted in death of the wicked. In the midst of his severest judgments, he delights to be gracious to the guilty. But the death of so many people on the earth, with all the accompanying grief and the confusion which must follow such a disaster, finds the residue of people not willing to repent. Such is the human heart, and this is what you and I need to be aware of, deceitful about all things and desperately wicked. After two world wars and 100 lesser wars in the past 50 years, the world is more wicked than ever. Instead of repentance, sin increases. Boy, he is right, isn't he? The world that you and I live in today, especially in America, the way things look and the things we see and experience, sin increases. Our hearts are wicked and in great need of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And let's talk about, here's where it got very interesting for me. Let's talk about these sins that God brings forth in Revelation 20 and 21. And I'm going to go through each one of these in a little bit of detail, but not in great detail. And so if you want to follow along, you look at Revelation 20 and it'll kind of follow through there. But the first thing that we learn about is that there will be an increase in the worship of evil spirits and worship of idols towards the end times. Just think about how much worship of evil spirits and idols is going on today. And here's how you can define that. Scripture declares that the worship of all gods except the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the worship of an evil spirit or an idol. Are there things that come into your life that you put before God? And you know what? You might be sitting there, well, maybe this or maybe that. But I guarantee you, if you were to sit down and have a conversation, me included in that, that we have things that we face every day in our lives that become idols. And you and I, our job is to work them out of our life and be aware when those things take the place of God. Many things do in our lives. But it will become more prominent in the end days. And the evil spirits behind these idols are what will destroy the soul. Not the idol itself, but the way that it pulls you in or draws you in or the way that you give your trust and justice to these things will pull you away from God. And God says, be careful of that because that will rise towards the end when Jesus returns. Secondly, there will be an increase in the sin of murder. Now, if you remember back to chapter 7, we've seen this great multitude in heaven and where there was a lot of Christians that were killed and taken from earth in that battle and so on. So the martyrs are talked about in there. We'll see countless and a great multitude that will be slaughtered by the Antichrist. The increase of sin. And then here's what I found to be interesting. The third bullet point that I became aware of here this morning. It says there will be an increase in the sin of magical arts or sorcery. This is not what you think it is. If you, excuse me. If you read it at face value, what do you think sorcery is? Or magical arts? Fortune tellers, yes, very good. Things like that, right? That's where we want to go to. Ouija boards and demonic worship. But here's what I'm gonna throw a word out to you this morning. And you're going to make, whoa. The Greek word used here for sorcery is called pharmakon. And in our English word today, we get pharmacy. And what that means is that before the return of Jesus, people will return and they'll use drugs in a great way in the world that you and I live in. Have we seen drug rise on the use? Is meth not in our back door all the time now? Is marijuana accepted as legally being used throughout different states that we live in today? See, in the end times, it is believed that drugs will play a major role before the return of Christ, especially in non-believers' lives. Did you ever think about that? Pharmacy is the word that comes to mind for magical arts. And so when I dug that out this past week, I was just like, wow, the world that we live in today, it's full of drugs when you open the paper. And God says, don't be surprised by that. This is how it's going to go. Your job is to stay away from it. Some people think that it's okay to smoke marijuana, but this is my opinion. Anything that alters your mind, you need to stay away from. So God says, because when you open your mind to that thing, those types of things, I believe that you open your mind to demonic activity and demonic forces in your life. So if you think that you can be a casual pot smoker, I am dead against that, and that is sinful. And God says, no way, you stay away from that stuff. That's the magical arts I want you to be aware of. And all the drugs included in that. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, what do I do if I take painkillers, if I had hip surgery, or I had a knee replaced, or what do I do with that, right? And I'm not telling you not to take painkillers, because you will call me and you will chew me out, right? There is a place for those things, and I don't think it's sinful that you use those to control your pain in your life so you can manage yourself in a good way. But if you become addicted to those painkillers, now you're going down the wrong road. And we see a tremendous amount of prescription drug abuse in the world that you and I live in today. And I think God says, don't be surprised. This is how it's going to look. Don't be caught off guard. These are the things that are going to go on in the world that you and I live in as believers. And many non-believers will turn to drugs because they don't know how to cope with the demonic powers that are influencing them through depression or anxiety or fear or whatever it might be. They will turn to those things to try to survive in the midst of those dark places in their lives. And I believe there's people that are fighting those things even today in the world that we live in. And our job is to turn to God, turn to Jesus in those things. How many of you have listened to the pastor, J. Vernon McGee? Anybody have heard of his name before? A few of you have. He's an older pastor. But he said this, and so he's been around for a while, and I don't even think he's alive anymore. I think he's passed away, in fact. But he said this. He believes that during the Great Tribulation, towards the end of Christ's return, there will be a period of drug use that will be uncontrollable. It'll be all over, is what he figures, what he believes. He believes that drugs will play a large part in the lives of the unsaved and will serve several purposes before the return of Christ in the world that we live in. That's what we need to be aware of. And then we have a couple more sins to talk about. The sin of immorality. The Greek word he used here is porneis. What word do you think we get from in the American language? Pornography. You think pornography is a problem in the world that you and I live in today? Big time. One in two men, they say, suffers with pornography. Women also can get addicted to pornography. How accessible is it, people, today? You got this little computer on your hip, don't you? Boom, you got it right there. And God says, be careful, because in the end times, pornography will also be out of control, and people will do wild and crazy things with it. And so let me talk to you men in here today, and maybe women, if you have that issue, and young men especially, if you have a cell phone, you need to stay away from those types of things. That's the devil's work. Now, the phone's not a bad thing, but what you access on it, what you see, can become a bad thing. God says, stay away from those types of situations. Let me finish up with the last one. I found this to be interesting too. There will be an increase in theft. We get the Greek word klematon. What American word do you think that comes to mind when you think of that? A kleptomaniac. What do you know about a kleptomaniac? Do they even realize they're stealing from time to time? Nope. What do you know about the world that you and I live in today? What about these looters? I've heard them interviewed and they say, you know what, I don't have this and I deserve this, so I get to take it. They just justified their theft, didn't they? And God says at the end times, we will see theft increase, and people will think that it's totally fine because they deserve it. Wow. Look at the world that you and I live in today, right here in America. And then we still say, God bless the USA. But yet, it seems like we are going backwards at such a fast pace. And you and I are the ones that need to take the stand and pray for our country and pray for our people. You know, we have this election that's taking place. I don't like to talk politics from the pulpit, but let me say this. The things that are going on in the world that you and I live in today, especially in America, is way beyond politics. You need to realize this. This is demonic activity. This is evilness that's going on in the world that you and I live in today. And this is called spiritual warfare. That's what you need to be aware of. It's not Democratic or Republican people. It's spiritual warfare at a very deep level. That's what you need to be aware of. And I think God is calling to us as Christians and the church that you need to be aware of these things. Sometimes these things are going to be unstoppable. But there also is times when you and I need to go to our knees and we need to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, heal our land. Heal our people. That's what we need to do. So don't let Revelation 9 scare you. Let it teach you of the things that will go on in the world that we live in. Because I would rather be much aware of what's happening around me than to just kind of not be aware of it and be caught off guard. Don't be caught off guard. Be aware of what's going on and pray. Seek out Jesus Christ in your life and stay close. That's how you get through this. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.